coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. In today's edition, we're going to talk about the GBI confirming that the remains found in southern Clinch County in February of 2017 are indeed Jake Connor, who had been missing for over a year at that point. We're going to talk about the South Georgia's Hunting Guide that's came out in all of our newspapers this week and how you can utilize that. Pearson voted on alcohol sales at their city council meeting. Blake Pittman will give us a report on that. Early voting starts next week in some of our counties here, or cities in South Georgia. We'll discuss that along with softball playoffs and a whole lot more. This broadcast is, or podcast, is brought to you by our friends at Lutz Brown Pegler and Manly Insurance in Homerville. We appreciate Eric Lutz and his crew there, and we're going to hear a word from them right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manly in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, good people of Podcastville. This is Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Axon County Citizen, Eccles County Echo, and Lanier County Advocate. I'm joined today by Blake Pittman, editor of the Axon County Citizen, as we go over the headlines and the stuff behind the news in Clinch County, Eccles County, Axon County, and Lanier County. One thing that came out yesterday, which we're recording this on Thursday, and it wasn't in our papers, but will be in this week, was that the GBI, after 2 years, confirmed that skeletal remains found. It was in 2018. I said 2017, I think, on my intro. Of Jake Connor, were indeed Jake Connor, that they positively identified those remains as Jake Connor. Now, let me back up here in case you're not familiar with this case. And on February 1st, 2017, Jake Connor went missing. He was a part of a logging crew for Connor Logging in southern Clinch County, near the Colon area, sort of north of Fargo. Went missing at that point, hadn't been seen since. On January 1st of 2018, a tree planting crew came across some skeletal remains. At that time, it was in the same vicinity where Jake Connor went missing, and they sent him off to the GBI crime lab. Now, nothing was heard from since then until last week, and talking with the GBI yesterday, they said that, and they wouldn't say that they didn't get the stuff from the GBI crime lab, but they said the University of North Texas and the GBI have confirmed that those were, that was Jake Connor using familial DNA.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know exactly what that means. I assume that means they use DNA from the family to match it with what was found. This is good news in a lot of ways. Good news in that I think for that family that, you know, at least there's some closure that that happened. I seem to think or this will help with the solving of the crime in some way, I'm hoping. Because obviously he was in some way, you know, foul play was involved. It wasn't, and they've already confirmed that. So that'll be big news in next week's newspaper. And we have a story on our Facebook page about that. Also in this week's paper, in the Axon County Citizen, the Lanier County Advocate, and the Clinch County News, is our South Georgia's Hunting Guide. And we had a contest with this for the best hunting picture, and we put it on Facebook, and everybody voted, and the number one picture was this picture of Noah Grady, who's from Clinch County, on the front. But inside, we put all the submissions that came in about. I think there were a couple of them we couldn't get in. But so if you submitted a photo in that, by paper, you're going to see that in there. And your photo is going to be in there. Also, it has all kinds of information, not just about deer hunting season, which starts October 19th, but all the hunting dates and information you would need for 2019 and for 2020, along with some advertising in there from people who have all kinds of hunting gear and different things. And that is... And like I said, the Axon County paper, the Clinch County News, and the Lanier County Advocate. And everybody did a great job. Blake, you, Lorraine.
Well, thank you.
And Laura. And putting that together. And I think that's something we're going to do every year from now on and hopefully expand it. I'd like to make it into a magazine like we do the guide to like Atkinson County and Clinch County. Yeah. We just need to sell some more ads for that and we can expand it and do some more pictures. And those pictures and everything will look a lot better if we can put them in that magazine format. In the Atkinson County Citizen, we had a breaking news story that Blake reported about the City of Pearson City Council meeting. Blake, tell us about that.
Man, has my phone been ringing off the hook today.
Really?
Oh, yeah. At the Pearson City Council meeting on Tuesday night, first of all, when I got there, they handed out the agenda. There was nothing on the agenda at all. No new business, no old business, anything of that nature. So after they did the pledge and approved minutes and did stuff like that, Councilmember Ricky Thomas made a motion to amend the agenda because there was an item he wanted to talk about, and so he made the agenda, made the motion to amend the agenda to discuss Sunday alcohol sales. They, second approved it, and so they reopened that issue about allowing the residents the opportunity to vote on Sunday alcohol sales. It was Ricky Thomas, Tony Williams, and DeFranz Minor. Barbara Douglas and Jason Joyner were not present at the meeting. And after some discussion, they went back and it was the majority of the meeting, which still lasted over an hour. And they discussed, the facts around Sunday alcohol sales, how much extra revenue it would bring into the city as opposed to people going out of town and buying alcohol there. Now, granted, the thing people need to understand is they didn't vote to approve Sunday alcohol sales because they can't do that as a council. They just voted to include it on a ballot to give the residents of the city a chance to vote on it or not. That's been the calls I've been getting all day. How could they approve that? And how could they allow Sunday alcohol sales? And why'd you let them do that? Like it was my job. I said, okay, listen, ma'am, I'm just the reporter here. But the one thing the residents, and I tried to make that clear in the story, everybody needs to be aware of that. They didn't approve it where Pearson's now going to sell alcohol on Sunday. They just approved putting it on a ballot to let the residents of the city vote on it. Now, about 4 months ago, they held a town hall meeting there in Pearson to discuss it, and they had a lot of people come out. And there were people for it. There were people against it. Some of the council members were present at that meeting. And then afterwards, they had their regular meeting a couple of nights later, and they discussed it there. Well, when they discussed it there, it was a 4-1 no vote against putting it on a ballot, with all of the council except for Ricky Thomas voting against it, citing various reasons, personal beliefs, what have you. And so they struck it down, and I think since then, we reported on that, Lynn, and I think since then, their constituents have been ringing their bell about it, saying, we're not asking you to regulate morality here or decide on moral issues. We're just asking you to give us the chance as a city to vote on it, whether we want it or not.
And that's what, in your story, Ricky Thomas basically says.
Yeah,
that, right?
That's what Ricky Thomas says. And Tony Williams made a statement along those lines too. And so when they brought it back open, Ricky said, I think we need to have another vote on it. And so they did. They brought it back up, and it was a 2-1 yes vote with Ricky Thomas and Tony Williams voting for it, DeFranz Minor voting against the issue. Now, after the vote passed, Tony Williams went on record and made the comment or made the statement that, he said personally he's not for Sunday alcohol sales, and he would vote against it if it was, if it was his choice to make. He's like, but as a city council member, he's like, it's not my job to vote on issues based just off of what I want. He said, I have to be the voice for the people that I represent. He said, and since we voted no, he said, I've had a lot of people contact me and tell me that they, you know, they want this on the ballot. They at least want a chance to vote for it. And he said, and as an elected representative, I have to do, you know, what the majority of my people want me to do. And so, you know, he said, it's not our job to regulate morality. You know, it's our job to be the voice for the people. And that's pretty well what they did. Now, it's too late in the ball game to get it on this November election. It has to be at least 90 days out. They have to notify certain state agencies that they're going to put it on a ballot, not for like approval, according to election supervisor Lorraine White, who is in attendance. And so they were discussing the idea of holding a special election, and Lorraine White told them that they could figure on around about a $10,000 charge to hold a special election. You know, because and she said it would probably be less, because that's just the general fee for all of the county. This would just be one location. It wouldn't be involved with Willacoochee and Axon and all that. But then she brought up the fact that there is a county election coming up in May. She said, and if they wanted to, they had plenty of time to get everything, you know, lined up, and they could piggyback on that election, and it wouldn't cost them near as much money to have it done. So, you know, they all agreed that they would do that. And so I'm not sure the exact date in May as of yet, but whenever that county election comes up in May, the city of Pearson will have a special referendum on there where they will get to choose if they want to allow Sunday alcohol sales within the city limits. A lot of people are viewing it as a breakthrough, you know, like as a positive thing. And then you've got a lot of people that are viewing it as a negative thing. And I mean, and you know, in this part of the country, Lynn, a lot of people still hold on a lot of those old Southern religious values, and if we don't agree with it religiously, then we're not for it. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. I think that it'll pass with no problem, but you know,
well, if you look, and this is sort of a trend in this area, you know, Lakeland and Homerville both voted on this in the past couple of years, and Lakeland it passed pretty easily. And then when Homerville voted for it, it passed by one vote. And then if you remember, the provisional votes came in, and then the military votes came in, and then it lost by a vote. And then they had this recount where they added these provisionals that were thrown out for one reason or another. And then it won again, and it won by one vote. So now we have Sunday alcohol sales in Homerville.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and that's the thing that the council kept bringing up. They said, everybody around us is already doing this. Yeah. You know, our residents are going to Homerville, Lakeland, Douglas, and Waycross on Sundays. And, you know, they had people at that town hall meeting that actually spoke with representatives from like Budweiser and different companies. And they projected how much, you know, revenue was coming in on that day just from alcohol sales, especially when you calculate things in like Super Bowl, NASCAR races, Georgia-Florida weekend, baseball playoffs, and let's not discuss that. Mm-hmm. But when you bring in those big, you know, those big events, people buy more alcohol. A lot of those happen on Sundays. And so, yeah, I mean, I can see where people want it. I can see where people would be against it. And it's not saying we're for more drunk drivers on Sunday, because that's the one argument they keep bringing up is drunk driving. And so they're not saying they're for drunk drivers on Sunday. They just wanted the chance to vote on it themselves. And the city council gave them, you know, they gave that to them. So we'll see how it turns out in May.
Yep. That'll be in May of 2020, assume, when that will come up. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins along with Blake Pittman. We're going to get one more word from our sponsors right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, lovely podcast people. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. We're talking about stuff going on in Clinch County, Eccles County, Lanier County, and Axon County over this week, and what's been in the newspaper and behind the headlines. And one thing that was in the Lanier County paper was that the Lady Dogs softball team won a region title, and they were going into the playoffs, and we have the brackets on the sports page on page 5, and an update on that. Lanier County, by virtue of winning the region, got a bye. They were going to play the winner of Charlton County, Wheeler County. Charlton County swept that. They've already won that one. And in fact, all of the teams from Region 2A that were in the playoffs, I believe, swept their first round playoff games. Wilcox County swept Portal. It was a best of three series. So you had two games, and if you had to go to a third game, you did. But in these cases, all of them, the Region 2A teams won the first two games and swept. The other one was Telfair County swept Seminole County, and I believe there's another one. It was Charlton, Wilcox, Telfair. I guess that was it. Yeah. And so all those teams advanced. And so now Lanier County will be playing Charlton County at VL Moore Field in next week. And I think that's Wednesday, Thursday. But check the Lanier County Advocate, Keith Newbern, our excellent sports reporter, will have all the information about that in this week's paper. Now, football-wise, Blake, and softball-wise, those were the four teams from the region that made the playoffs. Eccles didn't make it. Clinch didn't make it. ATCO didn't make it. Clinch was right on the edge. I think Eccles was close to. Clinch, I think, finished 27th, needed to get to the 24th spot. To get into the playoffs, Clinch finished 12-12 on the season, and that's the best record they've had in a long time.
Yeah, like 10 years or so?
Yeah. So, but, and they've got some, you know, they only lose, I think, three seniors. So if they can get some pitching, they may, you know, get back in the playoffs next year. Football for Region 2A is taking a week off. The shocker really was Lanier County almost beating Turner County.
Should have won that game.
34-33, and they had missed an extra point right there at the end that would have tied it. And also, there's some weirdness going on in that game. But yeah. Clinch and Atkinson played. Atkinson, boy, gave Clinch a scare in the first half.
Yeah, they did.
And were, I think, down by one touchdown, or was about to cut it to one touchdown right before halftime, and Clinch stopped them. And then Clinch did pretty well in the second half in terms of.
I talked to Coach Kevin McDonald. He's a defensive coordinator for ATCO this week, and he's a good friend of mine. And he asked me, you know, he said, "What did you think about the game?" He said, "Because I feel like we played pretty well." I said, "I think y'all did too." He's like, "So as an outsider, if you could tell me one thing that we could improve on," he said, "what should it be?" I said, "Play the freshman quarterback more."
Sophomore.
I said, give him some Wheaties.
Denzel.
Put him on a weight program and leave him in the game. I said, because that kid is the truth.
Well, and Atkinson in that game sort of abandoned the running game and started throwing. And they're dangerous when they throw the ball because.
Yeah, they are.
Their quarterbacks, both of them, can scramble and were. Sometimes they were just making some great throws. And
if you look on the back page of the paper of the Atkinson County Citizen, there's a great shot that Dwayne Culpepper took of I can't think of the kid's name now, making a leaping catch. And I thought that ATCO did a really good job in that game, you know, compared to what they were playing with. And they had a couple players out too with the virus. All week.
Yeah, I heard. Trevante I saw Williams. That in your story, and I was surprised.
That 273 yards through the air on us.
I think that Atkinson is going to give everybody they play, other than Irwin, a really good game.
Yeah, they host Telfair,
include Wilcox. I think they could beat Wilcox. Actually,
Wilcox is that they go to Wilcox last game of the season. Yeah.
I'm not predicting that, but they could. I mean, they've got enough firepower. Yeah. They can scare some folks.
And, you know, going back to the Lanier County, Turner County game, Lanier has, from what I understand, I hadn't had a chance to watch them play this year, but, they've got some serious speed from what I was told. Now, Turner, on the other hand, we watched some of their film this week, you know, in the coaches' meeting. Mm-hmm. Their game against Charlton was not that impressive.
Yeah.
We watched it, and it was like two Pee Wee teams playing each other. I mean, I'm not trying to talk down on them, but they
aren't in our region. I mean, they aren't in our
– They're not in our area. I mean, I wouldn't care if they were. You know, Clinton County live or die, baby. But, here's another interesting turn of fact. You know, their Board of Education won't let them call themselves the Rebels anymore.
Really?
Yep.
What are they
called?
I
have a friend that she is the cheerleading coach. She's actually should be married to one of my best friends. As of now, they're just in all their cheers, they call themselves the Mighty Turners.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm dead. I'm dead serious.
Yeah. The Mighty Turners.
She texted me a couple of weeks ago and said, she said, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, what is it? And she said, the Board of Education voted and we're no longer allowed to call ourselves the Rebels because of the racist undertones. Yeah. I said, so what are you calling yourself? She said, I don't know. We had to change all our cheers and now we say, go you Mighty Turners. Like Turner's Fine Furniture or something.
Wow. That okay. Well, so, that's interesting. Yeah. That is
amazing.
So we're breaking news here, Blake. Yeah. You brought something to the table today. I like it.
Too bad we're not in Ashburn. We'd have
we'd be all over that. All right. So also in Axon County Citizen, you had a story about the Willacoochee City Council. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, Willacoochee City Council was this Monday, and they had, again, and she was at both meetings, Board of Elections Supervisor Lorraine White. She was in attendance at the Pearson meeting, and I put a little bit of this in the story. But this was the main thing they discussed at the Willacoochee story. According to Lorraine, all the counties have had a visit from Homeland Security concerning their Board of Elections and the way they handle elections or whatever. And they are recommending that they take extra security measures for the upcoming election. Now, if I understood it right, after this election, they're going to take all those old machines and everybody's getting new voting machines anyways ahead of the 2020 presidential elections or whatever. And so, but they made two suggestions. They suggested either hiring somebody to work security 24 hours a day only while the election equipment is present on site, like at the various precincts or whatever, or they suggested having a deadbolt installed on the doors. Now, the only thing to the deadbolt would be once the deadbolt is installed, the only person that is allowed to have a key to that is the election supervisor. And if anybody needs to go in there while the election, like while the voting equipment is in there, they have to sign the key out so they have an accountability log of who'd been around those machines, with the stipulation that the deadbolts will stay on the doors. Once the polling equipment is removed, then the deadbolt will stay unlocked until the next election or what have you. And she just threw those out there to kind of make the recommendation to see what they wanted to do. Now, Jerome Adams, when she was at the City of Pearson meeting, he said these are just recommended. He said these aren't like state mandated, right? And she said, no, they're not. She goes, but with everything going on the way they are, I think it's a smart play to do that. So the City of Willacoochee did approve installing deadbolts on the Willacoochee location and giving her the key to it. And then I mean it's just a little extra step to ensure that nobody can get in there and fiddle with those machines. City of Pearson also voted to do deadbolts. The only place she has left is of course the Axon locations, and they will get that tomorrow, or actually tonight at the Board of Commissioners meeting. So that's what they discussed at the Willacoochee City Council, was being more security minded when it comes to the elections and what have you, and election tampering, stuff of that nature, which I don't really think we have to worry about so much around this area. But you get up around Atlanta when it gets to I'm not gonna say more important elections, but more high profile, like national elections, that might be more of an issue. I can't see somebody wanting to hack the Lanier County or the City of Pearson City Council, but you never know.
You also had a story about Axon County Middle School, was that right?
They actually received the Rural Education Grant. They were number 12 out of the 2,300 schools in the state to receive the grant. Now, it was a little over $4,000, and the school will it will fund a middle school initiative called ATCO Designs that they're putting in place, where they will actually teach graphic design and digital art skills through some of their visual art classrooms, which... if you look around these days, graphic design is becoming a big industry. People are designing for websites, billboards, you name it. And so they're going to start teaching that on the middle school level. State Board of Education Superintendent Richard Woods was in town, as well as Senator Tyler Harper, State Representative James Burchett was there, as well as a bunch of other local, like Bob Brown superintendent, some teachers, Carol Durrance, probate judge, was there, and other school officials, of course. And so they received that check last week. So congratulations to them on that grant.
One thing that we have in the Clinch County News, we started up a couple of weeks ago, is called Keeping Up with the Panthers, which is every week I'll go and find out, because we got, I think, four kids playing college football.
Yeah.
And I just update with how they're doing and what they did that week and who they play next. And last night, Chancey Manac was in action. Wednesday night football, as Louisiana yeah. played Appalachian State. And on the field at the same time yeah. was Chancey Manac, who's from Clinch County, Trey Cobb, who played at Ware County, who yep. has family over here. And I think his father's Danny Cobb.
Yeah, he is.
And then Raekwon Anderson, who's from Charlton County, also played for Appalachian mm-hmm. State. All of them had really good plays during the game. Raekwon Anderson had a long run. Chancey, I think, had four or five tackles. Yeah. And Cobb had a bunch of tackles, too. So that was good to see guys from this area on national television. That was on ESPN2. And, of course, this past weekend, two former Panthers, John yeah. Mincy playing for Tennessee and Tresman Marshall playing for the University of Georgia, played each other. And I don't think Mincy got to play in that game. Marshall got in on kickoff. So each week we'll be keeping up with that and putting it in the newspaper for folks to see.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed this or not, Lynn, but Taj Williams made a post on Facebook the other day, and it was a recreation when they won the state championship in Osceola, and there it was Tresman, John, Coach Dickerson, Charles, and then Taj Williams. And then he made a side-by-side. He took a picture of the John and Tresman picture and a picture of him and Charles when Alabama played Cincinnati. Yeah. The only thing missing was Coach Dickerson. But I thought it was really cool to see, you know, former kids around here. Teammates, that a lot yeah. of us were around when they were coming up in peewees and midgets and all, now playing on the collegiate level. That's something else.
It is. One thing we mentioned last week on this podcast was the status of the Waycross Journal Herald, which mm-hmm. is the daily newspaper in Waycross, and that they had ceased operation that Monday. They are back in business now. Rick and Sandy Head, who own the Brantley Beacon, which is a newspaper in Brantley County, have bought the Waycross Journal Herald and will be changing it to a weekly newspaper. I think their first edition comes out this Friday, and then after that, they'll be doing, I think, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday publication. I'm not sure. They'll see how it goes from there. But I've worked with Rick before. He's been a sports writer for the Waycross Journal Herald and also the Blackshear Times for a long time, and he'll do a good job. And so it's good that situation got resolved, because it was going to get messy if they couldn't find somebody to run a newspaper ever in Ware County. Blake, that's all I have from my side. Did you have anything? Tell us about the Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast, which is up now.
Before I go into that, one thing we forgot to mention is early voting starts.
Oh, gosh.
Tuesday, October 15th in all of our counties at your precinct. So go check that out.
Well, and one thing I want to mention about that, and I have a story in the Clinch County News about that this week, is in the city of Homerville elections, Willie Hardy, who's the incumbent mayor pro tem, is being challenged by Carlos Whitley for post 3. Now, that doesn't mean that only people in post 3 in the city of Homerville can vote for that. In the city, it's an open election. Everybody votes for every post or district or whatever. So everybody that's a registered City of Homerville voter can vote in this. Early voting starts on Tuesday for the November 5th election. Now, in Argyle, it's a little bit different. Argyle, I think they have 5 people running for 4 places. Mm-hmm. And the top 4 vote getters.
That's how it is in Pearson, too.
Yeah. And so everybody gets to vote in the city of Argyle, and whoever gets the top 4 vote getters end up winning.
Yeah.
So I want to explain that. The only other item in Clinch County that's on the ballot is the E-Splost education renewal of that, which is 1% sales tax, yes or no vote. There won't be any. In Fargo, there's also a race for city council. John L. Bappy Griffiths is running against Dale Smith for one of the city council spots. The mayor spot, which used to be held by Bappy, is Roy Abbott. Yep. Was the lone person to qualify for that, so he's automatically going to be the mayor. Bappy Griffiths and Dale Smith are vying for the city council seat. It was formerly held by Johnny Griffiths, who passed away this week, and who decided not to seek re-election because he was sick. And of course, our thoughts and prayers go with their family. Yep. This week. So yeah, that's, I forgot all about, I have that on my list, Blake, and forgot to mention early voting.
That's why I'm here, to keep you straight. I know. But back to Ben and Blake's podcast. Since it's October and it was our first foray, was it our first? Yeah. First foray into the month of October, celebrating Halloween, we discussed our top five Stephen King movies of all time. Now, granted, they all weren't horror movies, because Stephen King has some really good stuff that aren't horror movies. And we discussed all those. We talked about some other stuff, like Todd Chrisley being in trouble by the federal government, which
is
hilarious.
He's not in trouble anymore, is he?
According to the news release we read, yeah, the federal prosecutors say that he was purposely hiding money. And I don't know if they've dropped charges since then, but this was a document. It was published last week.
Okay.
So, but anyways, and we discussed other upcoming movies that are coming out. And we also added a new section this week based on your recommendation, Lynn, which is called Ben and Blake Recommends, where each week.
I listened to that. It's good.
We're going to make a recommendation of something new that we are currently watching or listening to, what have you, just to try to give you something new to watch or listen to, like we are. And I actually had a couple this week. Ben said, I didn't know we were doing more than one. I was like, we can always do more than one. And so he threw another one in there on the spot. So we're going to do that every week. This coming week, we are going to be discussing our top five horror movie bad guys. I don't know how she would term that, like monsters, demons, whatever they are. The villains of the horror movies. Ones that scared us the most. Now, another thing I want to mention about that, if you haven't yet, go on Facebook to Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure Facebook page and like us, follow us. I've kind of let Ben kind of take that on as his little baby. He's doing a really good job with it. He's been making daily posts leading up to Halloween of different horror movies that he likes, making recommendations, and people are responding to them. So go check him out. Ben is the old soul of the group. He likes the older stuff, and so you might like some of that. But this week we're going to be talking about horror movies again, we'll lead up until Halloween, where we'll discuss our favorite horror movies of all times and why they're our favorite horror movies. So yep, that's what we're talking about. Check it out. We'll record it Sunday night. I'll probably be ready to go on Tuesday.
Would you consider Get Out a horror movie?
I'm pretty sure it was classified as a horror movie. I've never watched. You talking about the one that just came out? I never watched.
You've never seen Get Out?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, Blake!
Is that the one people were making fun of with the meme with the guy just running all the time, like leaving the house?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, but it's.
I hadn't had time really.
Well, my daughter had to do a paper on it actually in college, and so we watched it like three times that one weekend. It's great. It's a very good movie.
Well, I mean, it
was nominated for Academy Award. I mean, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have to check that out. Yeah, I never watched. I'm going to be honest with you, because of the meme everybody put out, I kind of thought maybe it would be hokey. But yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Before we get out of here, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column is about this week?
It's called Male Pattern Laziness is Science Not at Work. And it's about how my wife, one time when I was lying around, in fact, I was watching Shawshank Redemption, according to my column.
Good Stephen King movie.
Yeah, the last 45 minutes of that, of course, is the best movie ever, Artemis. It's just fantastic. But anyway, and she was like cleaning or something, and she claimed that I was sexist because I wouldn't do women's work. And my response was, it's not women's work I don't like, it's work, period. That I don't like women's work, I don't like men's work, and that a lot of men are like this, and it's not that we're sexist, it's just we don't like work and we're inherently lazy. That may be, and I'm sure there's some people that aren't inherently lazy, but I think I can speak for everybody in this room that that we're inherently, we'd rather be doing nothing than doing something.
I will agree with that. Okay. I'll second that motion.
All right, there you go. So that's what that's about, and I'm sure some people can relate to that. So check it out. Yeah. That's all we have for this week's edition of Behind the News podcast. We'd like to thank you for listening. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Lutz Brown Pegler Manley Insurance. If you'd like to sponsor the Behind the News podcast, we have an opening. We have an opening for both this and the Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast. You reach a lot of folks. You get mentions in the newspaper, on Facebook, all over the place. So give either Blake or myself or anybody in our newspaper group a call, and we'll be glad to help you out with that. Next week, we'll be doing this same time probably Thursday, and going over everything that's going on in Atkinson County, Lanier County, Eccles County, and Clinch County in your Behind the News podcast. So for Blake Pittman, this is Lynn Robbins saying we'll see you next week.